Well, it's always a pleasure to come back and be here this morning. And this morning I have been asked to preach on Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. And so if you'd like to open your Bibles and read along. And yeah, it'd be good if you could keep them open and follow along as we go through it together. So Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 to 10. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's just open with a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today and we thank you for the blessings of it. We thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to hear your word. And I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and help me to speak in a way that will bring you glory. Amen. So, yeah, as I said, I've been asked to preach on Ephesians chapter 2, and in this passage we see one of the greatest blessings that a believer can know, but also it's one of the essential blessings that every Christian must believe. Because here Paul is describing the truth about how believers have received salvation and how they are to live in light of that. And so we're going to look at the manner in which believers have been saved. And then we're going to look at what believers have been saved for, and then how we can apply it to ourselves. But as always, when we come to a passage, we can't just narrow in and look at three verses on its own. We need to remember the broader context which it was written in. And so Ephesians was written as a letter by Paul to the church at Ephesus. And he wrote this to encourage them and to admonish them, because there was a lot of false teaching that was happening in the church. And the main emphasis that Paul had in this letter is reminding the Ephesians of the immeasurable blessings that are in Christ Jesus and the way that they are to live in light of that. And so all throughout chapter 1, Paul has been talking about how God has chosen and redeemed Christians and the believers, and how God has predestined them to be adopted as his children in Christ, and how Paul is praying that God would give them a greater understanding of the hope that they have in Christ and in what Christ has done for them. And he's setting up a theme here. All throughout chapter 1, Paul is speaking about the work that God has done. Nothing to do with what the believers have done. It is God. And Paul continues this pattern into chapter 2 by reminding the Ephesians that although they were dead in their sins, that it was God that made them alive in Christ. And this is essential to know before we get into our passage, because Paul explains that as human beings, we start out as spiritually dead. We start out not knowing God, and we don't want anything to do with him either. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Jewish, white, Asian, indigenous, or from any other background or culture. We all start out as spiritually dead. And just like a dead man can't do anything for themselves, so too those that are spiritually dead cannot respond to God. And this was each and every one of us at some point. Each and every one of us was dead in our sin. And before you think, surely I wasn't all that bad. After all, I didn't kill anyone, or I haven't robbed a bank, or I haven't committed adultery with someone's spouse. Just remember what Jesus said in the Gospels. If you are angry with someone without a just cause or a righteous cause, you are a murderer. If you have stolen so much as a grain of rice from someone, you are a thief. And if you have looked at someone with lust, then you have committed adultery. You don't have to commit one of these great outlandish sins to be a sinner. In fact, it's not even your sin that makes you a sinner. A good way I heard it explained is, it's not our sin. It's not because we sin that makes us a sinner. We sin because we are a sinner. We are naturally sinful. And this is who we are. But this is why Christ came. This is why God sent Jesus to this world. God knew that because we were dead in our sins, there was nothing that we could do to make us alive in Christ. And so we needed God to predestine us. We needed God to send Jesus to come and redeem us. And we needed God to make us alive in Christ. And this is important to know and to understand, because knowing who God is and what God has done for us is the first step in our salvation. And knowing who we are and how sinful and immoral we are is the second. God reveals to us the state that we are in and causes us to search for redemption. And this is where our passage comes in. Paul has just finished saying how it is God who predestined us, God who redeemed us, and God who adopted us. And it is God who has made us alive in Christ. And now Paul is saying, God did all this so that he could show us the riches of his mercy, so that he could show us his grace. And that is why Paul says in verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved. It is only because of God and his loving kindness towards us that we even have the hope of being saved. And just think about that. God wants to save sinners. God knows who we are. He knows how dead we are. Yet he still wants to help us. He wants to help those who are dead in their sin. How amazing is that? You see, God loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only son so that we who hated him could be redeemed by him. Any wonder Paul says it is by grace you have been saved. But how is this possible? How can a holy and righteous and just God free sinners from their guilt? Free sinners from their judgment? Well, the answer is in chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, God, in his good pleasure, sent his son Jesus to come to this earth and to live a perfect life, a life without sin, a life that was pleasing to God. But also, Jesus came to die. He came to be the perfect sacrifice for all our sin. And in doing so, he has redeemed us. That is, Jesus paid the debt that we owe. He took the punishment that we deserve for our sin so that we can be seen as righteous in God's eyes. This is the redemption that chapter 1 verse 7 is speaking about. And this is also the grace that Paul is speaking about in chapter 2 verse 8. The fact that we are redeemed through the blood of Christ, the fact that Jesus took us who were spiritually dead and made us alive through his blood. And for the believer, there is an important piece of vocabulary that we need to take notice of. And that is, Paul says, by grace you have been saved. And that is past tense. It is not you are being saved. It's not you will be saved. It's you have been saved. This is a completed action. Once you believe in Christ, you are saved. There is nothing else that you must do. There is no conditions attached. This is amazing grace, isn't it? That God would choose not just to help us, but to save us, to make us alive in Christ, to set us free from our debt of sin. It's any wonder that Isaac Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace, because to the Christian, this is the sweetest sound that we can hear. To know that God has done so much for us, even while we're still dead in our sins. And how do we receive this grace? Well, what do we have to do to be able to rejoice with Paul and Isaac Newton, claiming this amazing grace? Well, the rest of verse 8 tells us, this grace is claimed through faith. And faith is another way of saying to believe and to trust in someone. It is only when we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, and believe that he is able to redeem us, and trust that he is willing and that he is able to redeem us. That is all it takes to be saved by grace, to have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. How easy is that? God is not looking for the cream of the crop. God is not looking for a special kind of person. There is no exam that needs to be taken. There is no trial to go through. There's no sucking up that needs to be done. If you have faith in Jesus and his work, you have been saved from your sin. How easy is it for someone to be saved? Yet, how hard it is for people to come to terms with it. You see, we as human beings have an ingrained sense of wanting to pave our own way, to make our own way in life. And you can't count the number of books and the movies that have been made about someone who wanted to work to get their own way, or to achieve respect or a reward of some sort. And sadly, this is what some people think when they come to God. They feel like they need to clean themselves up to get rid of that sin before they come to him, or that God won't accept them the way that they are, and so they either give up and reject this gift, or they work and work at trying to be holy and righteous. But the big problem is that you can't work your way into salvation. It would be like everyone in Australia lining up on the beach in Melbourne and in a competition to jump across the sea to Tasmania. Like, it's just not going to happen. No one's going to make it. We would all get wet and there would be many different results. But no one would make it. We would all fall short. Even the best athletes in the world, with all their training, all the hard work they put in, they just wouldn't make it. And it's the same if you and I start working for our own righteousness. Once you start working for your own righteousness, you will fall short. And all that will be given to you is what you deserve, and that is judgment and condemnation. Because nothing that we do will make us righteous in God's eyes. Which is why Paul reminds us in verse 9 that salvation is not through our works. If we could make ourselves righteous enough, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And God would have to let us into heaven. But then it wouldn't be grace, and we could then boast in ourselves. But the truth is, there is absolutely nothing that we can do that can make us righteous in God's eyes. It is only by accepting the grace that God offers and having faith in Jesus that we can be redeemed. It is only by this that any of us will be made alive in Christ and be righteous in God's eyes. This is one of the fundamentals of the Christian faith, isn't it? To be saved by grace. It is one of the truths in the pillars that the church is built upon. It's what reformers have lost their lives for. And it's one of the reasons that Christians seem so joyful all the time. They know that they are sinners. And they know that there is nothing that they can do to save themselves. But they also know that they have been saved by grace through faith. They don't rely on themselves. They know that their righteousness comes from the Son of God. Salvation doesn't come from just knowing either. It comes from believing it. Anyone can know the words that we are saved by grace through faith. But believing it and knowing it in your heart is different. Believing in Jesus and trusting in him. So, where do we stand? Where do you stand? Are you still trying to work your way to heaven? Or are you saved by grace through faith? And so, secondly, how are we supposed to live in light of this truth? What is the purpose of us being saved? Well, according to Ephesians and what Paul has written, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And what Paul is saying here is when someone is made alive in Christ, it ought to produce a change in the minds and hearts of the believer. You see, when someone accepts the grace of God and this gift and are saved by grace through faith, they have gone through a transformation, and a major one at that. They have been brought back from the dead. God has changed their hearts in such a way that the believer no longer craves after the sinful lusts and desires that they once had. Instead, they crave and desire the things of God, to love their neighbor, to do good. You see, God didn't raise the believer up from the dead to roam around in their old sinful grave clothes. Instead, he raised them up to be transformed and to be clothed in good works. A good example is Lazarus in John 11, 38-44. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and called him out of the tomb, he commanded that the grave clothes be taken off him and to let him go. And now we're assuming that it's not just to take the grave clothes off and let him walk around naked. No, it's to put new clothes on him, clothes that are meant for the living. And it's the same manner that what God has done with us spiritually. God did not give his Son to die and redeem sinful human beings only so they could continue on sinning. Instead, he created a new heart in them so that they would be transformed and would be continually transforming their lives, growing in holiness and righteousness, putting off the old and putting on the new, with the results being manifesting themselves as good works. This is one of the purposes of every believer, to manifest the good works for the glory of God, because that is what we were created for. And these good works are a non-negotiable aspect of a believer. You cannot be a Christian and not be transformed in Christ for good works. And the reason being is that these good works are expected because this is what God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is one of the purposes of God for the Christian. God has chosen the believer to represent him. And notice how Paul is speaking. Paul reminds us that we cannot be saved by works, but he turns around and says, but we cannot forget to do good works. Because it is one of the purposes that God has saved us for. And the way that the believer does this is by reflecting the goodness of God in the way that they act and the way that they live their lives. It is a huge privilege, but it is a huge responsibility too. And I am not saying that believers will be perfect. No. And I'm not saying that we will always reflect God's goodness all the time. After all, again, we are sinners. And all believers, no matter how highly they think of themselves, are imperfect. But that should be our aim, to be perfect and pure in the eyes of God. And this is why we need to remember verse 10 and take it seriously. Yes, we are rough around the edges, and yes, we are still sinners, but God has created us for good works, to reflect His goodness to the world around us. This is what we ought to be doing. But sadly, we hear of too many people who claim to be Christians who excuse themselves from doing good because they are still sinners and because they are imperfect, claiming them that if God wanted them to change, then He would do it for them. No. This is something that at times can be incredibly hard to do. And it is something that we need to work hard at, whether it is by being loving and patient to that person that just rubs us the wrong way, or whether it's persisting in putting a certain sin to death, being hospitable, loving your enemy. It will take work. But there is hope. You see, Paul is writing this letter to people that were already believers. And while there is a lot that unbelievers can learn from it, it was written as an encouragement for the believers at Ephesus. It was not written to show them how to be saved, but to remind them of how they were saved, to remind them of the tremendous power that God has and how He has used that power to save them. And by reminding the Ephesians of how they were saved, Paul is convincing them that the power that saved them is the same power that will keep them. Paul reminds them that although they are rough, cut diamonds, they are diamonds nonetheless. God is slowly but surely perfecting them as they continue in their good works for the glory of God. He is trying to help them not to give in to the false teachings and the secularism that was being spread throughout the church at the time. Things that went contrary to God's word, but they were called good by men. Paul is reminding them to stay fast to the word of the Lord and to hold on to the good works that God has called us to. And so finally, what does this mean for us? Well, firstly, it should make us stop and think, how were we saved? How were you saved? Do you know and understand the grace that God has poured out upon mankind? Have you accepted this gift? Do you have faith that Jesus is willing and able to save you from your sin? And this is crucial to know, because it is upon this that your salvation hangs. Has God done a work in your heart? If you're still trying to earn your way to salvation, stop. God is freely offering you this gift. All you have to do is accept it. Believe that Jesus will redeem and forgive you, and it will be true. And if you do understand this and have accepted this gift of God, how often do we remind ourselves of this blessing? The blessing of that it is to be redeemed. I know how easy it is to forget this, because unfortunately I do it often. Our lives get so busy And before we know it, we have either forgotten this blessing or we are taking it for granted. Paul reminds the Ephesians of this blessing because it is important. Don't forget what God has done. Rejoice and praise Him often for this. Be constantly reminding ourselves and each other of it. And the big question for those of us that do believe, how are we living our lives in light of this blessing? Are we continually putting off the old and dead and putting on the new and alive? When people see us down the street, can they tell that we are Christians by how we are living and how we act? And I'm sure you don't need me to spell out where it is in your life that you fall short in this regard. You probably already have something in mind. Are you working to change that? Are you wanting to change that? Or are you happy being complacent in how you live? How are you living in light of the grace that God has shown you? Because when we live according to the good works that God has created us for, that we really show the goodness of God, we can show the love of God. And it is only then that others are exposed to the grace of God, which provides us with opportunities to share the gospel and the blessings that are found in Christ. God uses our lives and the good works that we do to lead others to Him. And the next question is, are we getting swept up with what the world thinks is good? Like at the Church of Ephesians, do we need reminding of the grace of God? Do you know what God thinks is good? Or are you solely relying on the pastors and preachers to teach you this? We have to be checking what people teach against the Word of God to make sure that it is true, so that we can live a life that is pleasing to God, a life that displays the love of God and grace of God, a life that is undeniably saved by grace. So again, I want to ask, are you living a life that shows you have been saved by grace through faith? A life that has been created in Christ Jesus for good works? This passage shows us the immense blessings that believers have in Christ, to be saved by grace through faith and to be made alive in Christ, to be transformed by God for good works, because that is who we are created. That is how we have been created. How are we living in what light of what God has done for us? Let's close in prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How true these words are, Lord, and how amazing it is that you would even consider redeeming and saving people like us from being dead in our sins. And I pray that as we leave here this morning, that you would work in our hearts, that you would remind us what we have been created for, and that we would shine brightly for your glory, and that we would reflect your goodness and your mercy and your grace in how we live. I do pray that you will be continually working in us. Amen.